Rot. Ja. So good to see everyone. Ja, it's funny, hey? It's Christmas season. Well, it's not funny, but it's... Yeah, you know, if you compare to other places in the world, it's like, is it Christmas out here? especially in Marandera. I mean, Harare is a bit decorated here and there. Marandera is a bit, bit low-key there, hey? But yeah, what a wonderful time it is, hey? The Christmas season we're having. And yeah, I'm going to share a bit just because it's Christmas, but it entails so much. The good news that God sent to us. So yeah, today I've got good news and I've got better news. There's no bad news. Yeah, you know, if you reflect on your lives, we always, as you go about your life, we're always striving for peace. Whatever we do, we always want to, in ourselves, get to a place where you want to feel good or you want to have peace. You know, we go through different turmoils in our lives. We go through tests and tribulations and trials in our lives. Things happen to us. Bad things happen that cause trauma. We get unhappy. But our whole being is always to be at a place of peace or in your soul, you know, to find that place. And we always, like, sometimes we're just fighting for it. And it takes long to get there sometimes. And we go off the rails and we come back and we find peace and then we're out of peace. And sometimes you just walk and you feel like you haven't got any peace. You know, you're irritated and, you know, you want to kick the dog and do funny things and you don't know why, because you're out of peace. And sometimes you don't know what causes it. And sometimes you know what causes it. But we're always in that place. I think the most important is to, in our lives, is to find that place, to seek it. And we don't know always how to do it. Sometimes we go with past experience. Anyway, I'm going to share some of the good news, and that is the Christmas story as well. And in that is peace as well. I'll get to that. So I just want to start with Matthew 1, the well-known piece, verse 22 and 23. So all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. We'll get to prophet Isaiah just now, but it was all prophesied beforehand. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So that is such a statement that everyone makes so quickly over Christmas. You know, they come and reference this verse, God with us, Emmanuel. And then after Christmas, we forget about Emmanuel, you know. We forget that God is with us. And his biggest desire is to be with mankind. He wants to be with us in our lives, present in our lives. So God, from the day of Adam, his biggest desire was to fellowship with man, because he created man to have fellowship with him. He wanted to be with Adam. And obviously sin came in and there was separation. And then he tried many times through history, through Abraham, through Moses. And his biggest desire is to have fellowship with man, to be with us, to be part of our lives. He wanted to make himself known to man, who he is, his very character. And so he went to the utmost And he gave himself up to become a little seed to be conceived again in a virgin. Because now he had this plan. He's going to become man so that man can actually identify him as a person walking next to him. This is God. Now you're going to experience me. God with us. And that was his plan. That's what we're celebrating in the season. It's not the timing isn't all correct, you know, the dates especially. But the purpose. Why did he do that? Because he was so desperate to get to our hearts. He was so desperate so that we can know him deeply. That we can know him, that we could experience him, so that we could experience his nearness, his fellowship, his presence, that we could experience his involvement in our lives. That was his whole purpose with baby Jesus. And we can't keep Jesus in the crib. You know, there's so much more that happened after that. But if you can look at the bigger picture of why did God do that? Why did God the Father send his Son now to this earth? So to make it easy for us. And then he had a bigger purpose, you know, after that, going right up to the cross. So there is so much in that. So the next verse I want to read is, it's all about his what he wants to do with us in Luke 2 verse 10 to 14. So he made it known to the angels, and the angels shouted it, and it was prophesied. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people." So he's bringing good news and joy to all the people. Okay, so that was one of his intentions with this birthing of Jesus. And verse 11, the Savior, bringing joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So there he's proclaiming already what he's going to do with this baby Jesus. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to be the Messiah, the Lord. He's going to save the nation. He's going to save all people. It's going to be available to all people to be saved. Verse 12, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast of others, angels in the heavens, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. So the armies of heaven, the Hebrew name for that is, there's an awesome song I'm listening, Adonai Tzevaot. It's a Hebrew name for the Lord of heaven's armies. So there was already a warfare in there where the angels were proclaiming what this child is going to be. There was a warfare in heaven. It wasn't just that's what's going to happen. There was a war in heaven. There was battles going on to accomplish this. Lord sent his angels. And what were they doing? They were praising. They were praising. And give glory to God. And that's what we must do. That's why we worship. To give God the glory. And in our worship, there's warfare going on. And we're commanded to do that. So coming back to the prophet Isaiah, what he prophesied long before in Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 8, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So how much more fullness do you want in that? Wonderful Counselor, He wants to be, he's come to be with us as a counselor, to be our mighty God, to be a father, an everlasting father to us, to be a Prince of Peace. And I'll come to the peace. And in verse 7, his government and its peace will never end. It's a never-ending thing. He's governing. It will never end. He's governing now, not fully on this earth, because the enemy is trying his best as well. But he has full authority, and he will govern to the end. There's no end to his governance and peace, forever and ever. He will rule, in verse 7, he will rule with faithfulness, fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. He's a just God, okay? And he will rule in fairness from his throne. This was all prophesied. This was all prophesied, okay? Remember that. Coming through this baby. Baby Jesus. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. There again, the commitment of the armies in heaven. Adonai Tzevaot. So, now we can carry on to the better news. And it's a thing that really struck me years ago. Peace on earth to all mankind. So we're dishing out gifts. There's always this tradition of giving out gifts over Christmas. And I read this passage in Romans and I realized the gift. But the better news is that he made peace with all mankind. So we must remember, I struggle with my paradigm. It's like sometimes this, what I'm talking about, that you can't, sometimes you grapple to get peace, or in your relationship with the Lord, sometimes you like feel far from him and you feel like unpeace. It's like in turmoil, and you feel like you have to now, how do you restore that? But God's made peace with us forever. Through Jesus. There's no more enmity. There's peace with you and God. And when we're in a bad spot, sometimes it's hard to understand that you feel like you're out of peace. But we must know that God's made peace with us, okay? There's no more war in our relationship. That's why He sent Jesus to do that. In Romans 5, I'd like to read Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. And we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So there is that building of character, endurance. But there's always a hope set before us that he's made peace with us. And we could work out our salvation. We could grow in him. We could grow stronger, grow closer to him, remembering the promise that he is our counselor. He's with us. He wants to be part of our lives. The big thing is he wants to make himself known to us in person, in his character. So, and the gift he gave us in verse 15-17. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And this is who we're celebrating in this time. This one man, Jesus Christ. The gracious gift He's given us, the gift of righteousness, which means He's made right with us. We've made right with Him. We're in right standing with God because of Jesus. And it's so awesome, you know. And we shared earlier with Dion, just how grateful, if you reflect on the year or the years past and what God's done to us. Christmas is such a good time of reflection of everything God's done to us. And it's then you realize how many gifts we have received from the Lord, you know, in forgiveness, in redemption, and things He's made right in our lives, things He's changed in our lives, things He's bettered in our lives, the way we have changed in our thinking, in our doing. You know, there's where we've come from. And there's all those things we think of and we're grateful for that. And He made it possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. That very thing that, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down to be a cell and become nothing. And I can grow again so that I can reach mankind. That's His heart. That's what He wants to do. He wants to reach us. He's so desperate for our fellowship. So knowing that He's made total peace with you, okay, there's peace. It's such a firm foundation to work from. And then the beautiful thing about peace, the word peace, you all know it means, it's the other word is shalom, the peace. So it's not the peace of the world where, you know, you shake hands and you come to some agreement that you won't fight again, or I don't know what. That's peacekeeping, not peacemaking. So it's a different thing to make peace than to keep the peace. If you keep peace, you never deal with the issue. If you make peace, there's always a bit of a fight and a blood coming out and surrendering and winning. There's never a winner in war, you know. You just come to a place of agreement. So this word shalom, peace, it's got so many meanings. And it's so awesome in Israel with the Hebrews, if they, the way they say shalom, and it contains this whole thing. It's not just, you know, stay well, or peace to you. When that word shalom, it contains so many meanings. There's a few meanings. The one is wholeness. The peace that God gives us is a wholeness. Okay? It's to build you. He wants to make you whole, whatever's not whole. The other meaning it contains is a completeness. Peace to you. God wants to complete you. He wants to restore you to your fullness, to what He wants. Well-being. Another meaning in that shalom is a well-being, that it will go well with you, that you'll find yourself in a good place in yourself. There's a safety around shalom, a thing that protects you. If they say shalom, peace, is a protection as well. There's a rest that you find in peace. And that's all in Christ. peace to all men, shalom to all men, rest, wholeness, completeness, being well, I'll take care of you, there's a safety, I'll give you rest and prosperity. Prosperity in the sense of living rightly before God. Not making all the money, but prospering in your soul. That's what, that peace. That's the better news of the Christmas story. Is He's brought peace. That's what He's giving us as a free gift. Okay? So, in Colossians 1 verse 19 to 20, also just settling the peace issue in our hearts. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him reconciled everything to Himself. Remember, He wants to bring everything back to His heart. He so desires it. So He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So it's so awesome. He wanted to reconcile everything to Him. And the other thing that peace does gives us is it guards our hearts and our minds. So in Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, remember, I began with how we seek peace, and sometimes in turmoil. So, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So that's the peace we're looking for in this time. So if anything, that's our gift that God's given us in this time. Our right standing with the Lord, His desire to be with us, God with us, Emmanuel, and His shalom peace, so that we can have a good life in ourselves, that we could prosper in our relationship with Him. Yeah, so that's good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, in this time, it's a good time of reflection. Family time. Christmas always a relationship, people, family get together. And it's also such a good time because God is a relational God. You know, He wants that fellowship. And what's good about Christmas is, well, families get together again and there's relationship, you know, and the world has torn it apart in many ways. And it's so sad that they always try and bring a little bit of Christ, you know, into Christmas somehow. And then out again as the new year starts. Well, with a new year party. It's out again. Hey, I've been there. I also did it. I'm not judging anyone. So, yeah. But that's God's intention. You know. So it's just so good that God wants to be involved with us. And then it carries on and then it builds. We can't just do Christmas and Easter as a family, you know. We're God's family. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You for this this wonderful plan You've had since the beginning, and Your desperate desire, Lord, to fellowship with man. And Father, we don't always give You all the glory and honor that You are due, but You've always come in low, and even so low that You reduced Yourself to a cell to be born again as a human so that we could recognize You and fellowship with You and know You are the true God. And the redemption you brought for all of us in this time, Lord, we are reminded of all those things, the whole package that you've brought to us to save us. Oh Lord, how privileged it is for that precious gift that you've made right with us at the cross of Jesus. And you want to bring your peace, your shalom peace to all of us in our lives, and not just on Christmas Day or in this season, Lord, but a permanent work in our lives, a work of wholeness, of fellowship, of restoration. Yes, Lord, a life of safety and rest, where we know we can always turn to you because you've made peace with us and we can find our rest in you, Lord. So I pray, Lord, a special time for building a relationship with you in this season, Lord, and just recognizing you for who you are. Lord, for restoring relationships and families, that's your heart, between children and parents, between families, brothers and sisters, extended families, Father. There is no more enmity, Lord. In Christ, we can reconcile. I pray specifically for marriages, Lord, that are broken. Father, in this day, broken relationship with marriages and children and parents, Lord. Father, would you in this time let your Holy Spirit move in those families, Lord, and just restore them. Yeah, shine the light on that, Lord. Let them convict them with your truth, Lord, and your love. There's no time to waste. Life is too short for those things, Lord. And you've made this special plan so that we can experience that through the birth of your Son, Christ, Lord. So, Father, I just pray a special blessing on everyone here today and our extended families, the people that aren't here today, family that can't make it, and that are having holiday and family time in this time, that your blessing and protection would be upon all of us, Lord. Thank you for your hand of protection and promise over our lives as we stay and move with you, Lord, in our hearts. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great.
Thank you very much.
If there's anyone that needs prayer or anything specific, then
love to speak to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Dion.
Yeah, absolute blessing. And as the Pete says, it's absolutely much prayer. And